Do you hear something?
Did I hear what?
Banging, hollering?
Oh, it's just those kids scissoring each other to zombie takeout.
What's up? Welcome to episode 340 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got quite a bit of listeners submitted. Bodo left us two emails. I'm going to cut the second one into the show and just answer the first one. He left us voicemail complimenting us on the first episode of The Hearing, which we did, what, 2 weeks ago, I think?
Yes, it's hard to believe that was 2 weeks ago, but yes.
And thanking us for, making him aware of a band that is in a style that he likes, but he wasn't aware of. You're very welcome. Estrons are amazing. Yeah. I highly recommend checking them out if you like punk, I will say, just to simplify matters.
Right.
He also asked if we were open to suggestions for The Hearing for music and for information about, the albums being recommended, and absolutely. We have fairly broad tastes, but there are still limits. And, we want as much variety as possible. So you can email us, johnandscotto@gmail.com, or leave a voicemail, the current number. Which brings me to something I forgot to mention last week when I was talking about Zombie Takeout going weekly, which Bodo also said that he's going to miss us when we go monthly. Go back and listen to the beginning of last week if you missed it, Bodo, because we announced that we are going to be continuing weekly next year. It's going to be on YouTube and on zombietakeout.com and on the current iTunes feed. A little bit different. I get into the details in the beginning of last week's show.
It will either cure me or kill me.
And something I forgot to mention when I was talking about all that last week.
Right.
I realized we can keep the voicemails when we go to the YouTube version.
Oh, nice.
We were talking about having to cut them out, but I realized because of Bodo's video that I had to cut in, what I can do is take the audio from the voicemail and, like I do with the current video version of Zombie Takeout, just put a still image of the text of the voicemail on it and cut that into the episode. And we'll just have the actual text of it in our notes so we can respond to it. And then it occurred to me what I could also do is take the actual Google Voice translation.
Oh, wow. So we can see the many names of Bodo Winter.
Well, it'll be in the final version. I mean, I think I could probably show you ahead of time, but it'll be in the final version, yes.
I mean, that's like the Fawlty Towers gag, with the
sign. Yeah, we've been joking about this for how long, and you'll finally see what we're talking about. And Bodo also left us a voicemail about last week's movie, Prometheus.
Otto here. Hey, I'm doing a live as I'm listening to the show. First of all, couldn't have been the first Alien unless the Predator versus Aliens, not part of the known universe as far as that goes, because in that very first one, they were talking about the aliens being around during Egyptian times, pyramid times. The first 5 or 10 minutes, absolutely beautiful on that movie. Stunningly beautiful. I love the first 5, 10 minutes. As far as the guy in the mask and jerking back and forth 80s video, are you thinking Metallica 1? Because that kind of has that in there. Armless, legless, man of the world, that they took from Johnny Got His Gun. Not an exciting movie. But anyway, thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Bodo. I did a little research on AVP. It's kind of up in the air as to whether it's canon. Some sources say yes, some say no. I don't think there's been an official word on it. But there were also the xenomorph sculptures in Prometheus, so that does suggest that the one that was birthed at the end wasn't actually the first xenomorph.
Probably just got rid of the other ones that appeared, but who knows what happened there, how that battle ended.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, they kind of show some hints of someone getting decapitated, but that doesn't necessarily say how the battle ended, you know, mm-hmm. how the aliens lie dormant, you know,
right.
in that movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot they don't explain in Prometheus.
Yeah, that's
a
problem.
And a lot that they didn't need to explain that nobody gives a fuck about.
Yeah. And as far as the first 15 minutes, a lot of the movie looks great. You know, Ridley Scott is good at that. His movies look beautiful. Storyline,
I honestly disagree. The first 15 minutes, I mean, a lot of that was just some pretty bad CGI there, okay. I thought. That waterfall and everything.
No, well, that was actually Iceland. That was not CG.
I think the waterfall was CGI.
No, that's actually Iceland, dude. I've seen that location before.
That particular waterfall, mm-hmm. the way it was
that's
splashing
real.
Up.
I'm reasonably sure that was an actual waterfall in Iceland. That's why they went to Iceland. That's why you go to Iceland to film things because the place looks amazing. Ridley Scott has a tendency to, you know, make really good looking movies that have iffy storylines. People are going to hate me for saying this, but I recently took a shot at the final cut of Blade Runner. I've never been able to get through it, but I'd only seen the theatrical version. Got halfway through and lost interest. Beautiful movie. Visually, it's incredible, but storyline? Sorry, Roberto.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but I never remember not liking it. It's, you know...
It wasn't bad. I just didn't care halfway through. Anyway, back to Prometheus. John Phillips left us a message on Facebook. He said, I liked Alien Covenant more than Prometheus. Shaw is shown in a photograph, and you find out her fate in the bonus materials. If you want to be spoiled, I'll tell you. I have the movie. I'm going to watch it eventually, so I'll pass on the spoiler. I'm hoping it's better.
I imagine she's toast pretty quickly
on. You know, I imagine. You would think so.
You know, lands on the planet. Hey, what do you guys do?
And that brings us to this week's movie, which is from 2014, Zombievers. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Adolescent Sexual Innuendos. Need a script for your next painfully derivative, even for a parody horror film, and don't want to do more than copy and paste a bunch of genre cliches? Then try piling it up with Adolescent Sexual Innuendos. At least teenage boys will be entertained.
And also brought to you by Cabins in the Woods. Looking to get away from it all? Don't. Not to be confused mm-hmm. with Cabins in the Woods, Cabin in the Woods, or A Cabin in the Woods.
Mm.
All right. So, we have yet another Cabin in the Woods. Mm-hmm. What can you say? I mean...
That just so happens to be the vacation destination for a bunch of college students.
This is like, I mean, it was pretty much the exact beginning to that one with the fish, that anime, the college girls going to the cabin in the woods. All right. So on the way nearby, there are these two guys who are transporting a hazardous material.
Probably my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, yeah, Bill fucking Burr.
That's who that was. Okay, I knew he looked familiar.
And it's a brain just for Bill Burr alone.
And John Mayer was the other driver.
Yeah, one of the best stand-ups of our time, honestly, Bill Burr. Famous for just, you know, throwing out an absurd, offensive statement and then like, hey, wait, hear me out. And then him going through this whole thing to explain it. They hit a deer, they unleash the toxic waste into the wild, where it finds some beavers, and it turns them into zombies, or toxic Avenger beavers, or something like that. Yeah, zombies, really. Of course, hence the title.
Because if you cut Toxie in half, I'm pretty sure he'd die, if you could do it.
Yeah, you're probably right. But of course... Nearby is a cabin in the woods where the three college girls trying to get away from their boyfriends. And the boyfriends get invited by one of the girls there, and the beavers attack, and hilarity ensues, honestly.
The Harbinger shows up, you know, in the topless scene, and later on just to try to save them. And
right, you get the Harbinger. I forgot. You got to have the Harbinger on line one. On line.
Yeah.
What a great movie that one
was. Yeah. And I'm so glad you
do that again.
And I'm glad you called that Toxie, because that's all I was thinking in that first scene when I see the medical waste, you know, rolling into the swamp is Toxie.
Yeah.
And that is an amazing opening scene. You know, Bill Burr is great. And John and John Mayer actually makes a great Chong.
Right. I assume that was the dude from SNL that does like the giggling, you know, behind his hands. I forget his name. He does documentary now. Right, but yeah, then I'm like, wait, John Mayer?
He's basically the Chong. I mean, he's not stoned, but he's kind of playing that role, and he's great.
Yeah.
And then we get to this obnoxiously long opening credit sequence. And then a movie that I was wondering if it was, you know, a Thanksgiving kind of thing where it was, you know, just hitting the cliches directly and then it was just going to get awesome halfway through. No.
Right. I mean, we're expecting, I don't know. I was expecting the beavers to have personality.
The beaver attacks I kind of enjoyed just because they were so ridiculous. They were animatronic beavers and very cheap animatronic beavers.
Right, right.
I liked it on that level. Because just because it was so out there. And I did like Mrs. McGregor's in the scene, because she just, you know, it's this older woman who, you know, seems very nice and proper and just goes on this profane rant about her daughter.
So they do throw a few nice little curveballs in there. Mm-hmm. But nothing to carry an entire film.
No.
That's the problem here. It's, I mean,
I was
that best a skit, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. I was rooting for the beavers.
I mean, you expect it to get into the absurd,
yeah.
You know, it lends itself to it. It's mm-hmm. the title. It's, I mean, and I think the closest they get to the absurd is when the humans turn.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if you mind me skipping ahead to that
go
part.
Ahead, go ahead.
I mean, yeah, when the humans turn, they get large buck teeth
and tails.
And tails.
I thought that was going to be a dream sequence, but then they never pulled out of it. And I realized, wait, how did a beaver, you know, masquerade as Jen, the character's name?
Right.
And then I realized, so, wait, no, she turned.
Right. So you're... I think they totally set that up where you think that, you know, you're going to see a camera cut to them getting up and, you know,
yeah.
But no, that's really it.
And that definitely bought it a little bit. I hated everybody in the movie aside from some side characters. You know, I liked the drivers. I liked Mrs. Gregerson. That's about it.
Yeah. The drivers needed to be in the film more, of course. Mm-hmm.
They need their own movie. But yeah, the rest of the cast I hated, so, I liked the couple next door that we referenced in the intro. They were good too.
Right. I thought that was Frances McDormand first, but no, it's another actress who, Phyllis Katz, who like, you know, was a regular on MASH,
okay.
You know, and just, I mean, has just been around. I mean, I'm wondering if I've seen her in anything here in Chicago, because she seems based out of here.
And there were some nice kind of, you know, I wouldn't quite say absurd, but kind of ridiculous moments where, you know, the zombie beavers somehow managed to know how to, you know, cut the phone lines or know that they should cut the phone lines.
Well, they asked, do you think they did that on purpose? And, you know, they never really answered that question.
And there, when one scene, one of them is swimming backwards and it kind of looks like a crocodile, you know,
but
swimming
that's the
tail
thing.
First.
I think that was the big component missing from this movie. Were that the beavers should have grown personalities, you know, like gremlins, kind
right,
of.
Right.
You know, they gave, you got Stripe, you got, you know, and then of course in the second one they were ridiculously, you know, personified.
Right.
But, you know, they have zombie characteristics, they should have become more human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but how a person gets contaminated with beaver, you know?
Yeah, from toxic waste from a bite. Yeah, I try not to analyze that.
To a beaver. I mean, that is the only way time they really played the absurdity card in this.
They both changed really suddenly. Like, there's no, you know, ticking clock of, you know, you see him get bit and, you know, are they going to turn? They just suddenly turn, which is weird. Yeah. Maybe I'm just so used to the typical zombie cliche of, you know, the person who gets bitten and says they're fine, and then something little by little changes.
But they were, you know, they were rushing to get this thing done.
Well, yeah, true.
I mean, they only had so much material to release that right. as long as this movie did.
And there's this sort of romantic drama going on. One of the girl's boyfriends cheated on her with one of the other girls. And, of course, midway through the movie, you get those three stuck in the house together while the other three go for help.
Right. Which none of that made any sense. No. Okay, we're going to take the guy with 1 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I mean, unless you had that thing really, that dog vest tied so tightly, how would he not have bled?
You can't really use that as a tourniquet. I did think the beaver dam blocking the road was clever.
Of course.
That was nice,
honestly. But why couldn't the truck have driven through it?
Good point. It's just a beaver dam. I keep flipping that. It probably could just barrel through it.
I mean, honestly, if the beaver was smart enough to cut the phone lines...
Mm-hmm.
How come the beaver couldn't have, you know, cut something in the...
The gas truck. Liner, yeah. And the only thing that really buys it a solid brain, aside from the truck drivers, is the woman who had sex during the movie and who was sort of the most overtly sexual was the survivor. They went completely against that trope. Or kind of the survivor. Well, we'll, you know, I don't know if we want to give that away, but
yeah, I would want to give
that. She survived the beavers. I'll say that. She got away from the house. The one who, you know, typically would die first got away from the house. I liked that. And then what happened to her? You know, that whole part of it just buys it a brain.
You kind of knew something. It wasn't just going to end where it was going to end, though.
Yeah, right. There's some more time left, of course. And lots of outtakes, which was a nice touch.
Well, yeah, because it seemed like they were just letting Burr and Mayer just riff.
Yeah. I got the impression that that was all just completely ad-libbed. They didn't really have a script.
And they were, you know, letting the other guy during his sex scene just kind of ad-lib, too. Mm-hmm.
One little bit of trivia. While on the raft early in the film, the girls are drinking Ipsum Lorum light beer. Ipsum Lorum is standard block of nonsense text used as a placeholder by graphic designers. That was a nice touch. Sequels and remakes?
Sequels and remakes, yeah.
Zombies, obviously.
Ah, boy.
There's this little clip at the very end of the movie where a bee... eats part of one of the beavers or something and then flies back to the hive. They don't actually say, you know, zombies coming next or anything like that. They just kind of, it's a ridiculous and probably fake I Smell sequel.
I've heard there was a sequel in the works for this, but I'm not sure if they're going the zombies. I can't.
No.
And honestly, I mean, I've been trying to find out what the budget was for this and haven't been able to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it made about 6 figures, so I'm not sure if that's enough to actually pay for this.
And I wonder how many of those people, like us, thought it was brilliant in concept and then were disappointed by the actual film.
Yeah.
Probably many.
I think if we didn't have the background in this genre that we already have, we probably would like this a lot more.
Yeah, true.
But I mean... After you've seen Thanksgiving,
right,
which is just so outrageous and just nuts, and then to see this, you're kind of like, oh, well, yeah, it's a fucking Muppet, okay,
right, yeah. If any of them had broken out into song, I'd probably be recommending it. But
exactly, this needed something insane. Right,
because that's what sold me on Thanksgiving. I was hating Thanksgiving until Dead Best Friend.
Right. There's people, you know, that are probably like, wait, you know, beavers that turn into zombies. How could you say that's not crazy enough? Just watch Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you'll see what we mean. Because, I mean...
And if you really want crazy, Thanksgiving 3.
Yeah, right.
But this is more directly related to the first Thanksgiving, of course.
Right. So no matter what they did, I guess we're onto brains now, right?
Yeah. Onto brains. Loved Bill Burr and John Mayer, liked some of the side characters. Really got a kick out of the animatronic beavers. Hated the rest of it. I'm going 3.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's, I mean, I'm giving it a little extra because of Bill Burr alone. But, I mean, it's enjoyable. But once you get past the gag, you're still just watching a Cabin in the Woods movie.
It's a sketch, you're right.
And nothing that even brings anything new to the table other than, oh, there's Muppets. And I'm going 3.5, though.
Okay. And what have we learned?
I learned how much wood would a radioactive woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood with toxic waste.
And I didn't learn shit. I just hope that the modern ocean doesn't turn into another topiary. I was reading up on the modern ocean. The kid who played Spider-Man in the latest one, Tom Holland.
This would have been better if Shane Carruth done the Zombieverse?
Tom Holland was attached to the modern ocean.
Yeah.
Has no idea what's going on with it.
Oh.
He really wanted to do it. He said it was the best script he's ever read. He has no clue what's going on. The cast was announced 2 years ago. This interview with Tom Holland was last spring. I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm worried too. Shane kind of reminds me of Peter Gabriel as an artist.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah, we heard this album called I.O. was going to come out soon, and that was like 2002. And
right.
Still no sign of it.
Yeah. I think he's topped the number of years between Primer and Upstream at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway. Until next time, we'll be reviewing Zombies, recommended by Bodo. Hopefully better than this one. If Bodo recommends it, I'm sure it is. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And if you enjoy the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all of the listeners we have, but more would be better. You also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through the science fiction double feature, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Forbidden Planet. It still takes me a second.
Yeah, just thinking of the lips.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the recommendations list. I was sure this was going to make the rec list.
When I saw Bill Burr, I was like, how could this not make the recommendation list? And then... Well, there's a whole lot of movie between the time you see Bill Burr and then Bill Burr again.
Yeah. I was very hopeful after that scene. And then the girl showed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, when does it get funny again?
Yeah.
Of course, you can email us zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-CTO1 or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414.
You can damn yourself.
414-368-9861. Nicely done. Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee. And until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Please stop with the beaver jokes.